Item number seven, discussion on approving an election reform referendum for the city of Macomb elections. There's several resources here from the city attorney outlining this procedure, and there's also a memorandum in your packet from the city attorney regarding the process. Ms. Petrie, did you want to go over that memorandum with us, please?
If I could. Actually, what I'll probably do is kind of give a timeline of how we came to be as far as where we're at. Maybe this might help explain some of the issues that have been brought up and some of the handouts that were given earlier, I think, goes to that. It might help explain how we created the system we have. In 1975, in the city of Macomb, by ordinance, actually it was 1632, adopted the election code of the state of Illinois in its entirety. They took it as was and as was amended, and that was the system from 1975 going forward. They had adopted the election code with no exceptions. And then it appears that in 1982, there was the desire to create a nonpartisan system within the municipal elections. At that particular point, there was no exception to the election code for nonpartisan municipal elections. It didn't exist for municipal elections under the election code. So there was a referendum that had been posed to the electorate of the city of Macomb in 1982, basically stating, and I believe everyone had been given the abstract of returns, which actually shows the referendum question, was whether or not the city of Macomb, shall the city of Macomb conduct its municipal elections on a nonpartisan basis? That was the actual referendum question that was placed before the voters. And they chose the nonpartisan basis. They said yes. In 1982, the election code did not provide for that particular option. It appears that in 1985, there was an attorney general opinion given that had deemed the ability of the city of Macomb to choose a nonpartisan municipal election format via the state of Illinois Constitution. They found that it was constitutionally within the authority of the city to choose the nonpartisan elections. So then, based on the attorney general opinion, deeming that that referendum was within the authority of the city based on the Constitution, the city then discussed in 1986 via a legislative committee, there was a full discussion as to how they were going to now move forward implementing the nonpartisan elections. And again, this was at a time when the election code did not provide for the municipal nonpartisan elections. There was discussion via the city attorney and the committee, the aldermanic committee, that the Municipal League of the state of Illinois had given advice that the city look to the election code, which I've provided a copy for, which is now, actually it's under Article 21 optional. They had at that time advised them to look at the city of Chicago formatting to create something that would give them an ability to have elections under a nonpartisan format. So they did. They looked to the city of Chicago's template. They used it as an idea to how to create theirs. The city of Macomb cannot, by authority, use that 65 ILCS 20 under the Article 21 optional. That is not available to the city of Macomb as authority. It was as a template. Based on that discussion of the legislative committee and the information they received from the Municipal League, they created and drafted Ordinance 2264 in 1986. This particular ordinance created the continuation of the adoption of the election code, but as it went on to state that it was going to, well, at the time, it started with inserting in lieu thereof the following. It created the exception, later amended in 2001, whereas the language you have now. But what they did is they created this exception. They wanted the election code, but with this exception, that was formatted off the template of the city of Chicago, which was the only other nonpartisan that was functioning in the state of Illinois. So this exception was created. And again, it was done under the authority of the Constitution of the state, which gave the authority to municipalities to create a different form of government if they so chose. And that's what happened. When it was first brought up regarding whether or not there would be a change to that system as it's now in our code, as was created in 1986, which is what we call the exception, that's what we're functioning under, is what we created as an exception to the election code. When we discussed this with, again, the Municipal League and other authority, there was the discussion that it would need to be done by referendum. And again, the reason it would need to be done at this time, while it was only done by ordinance the first time, is because we took the authority given to us by the Constitution of the state of Illinois and created a separate form of government, so much as we created a different election process than was in, by statute. Because of that would be why we need to do it by referendum now if we were to make a significant change. Significant meaning we're changing the process, not just as we did prior by inserting some language, clarifying a word, because this would be significant by omitting an exception. If that's what my understanding was posed, is that by changing our election structure, omitting, say, the February primary as is written in our code, opting for the election code as it's written in the election code, and going with the April, that particular proposed change would need to be done by referendum because it's a change to our form of government. That's kind of how we've ended up where we're at. As to what the exact language would be is still somewhat undetermined because it's, again, trying to craft it to meet exactly what it is we're doing. That would need to take a little bit of time. But it would be, as was stated, till the end of December before a resolution needs to be crafted that would encapsulate that question to be posed, if in fact it's what this body wanted to do. But again, through timeline, that's how we've come to pass where we're at. Our system is an exception that was written and created in 1986, whereby the election board, the State Board of Elections, does not have authority, nor do they give advice on our elections because we are not under the election code in its entirety. What's being proposed, or again, my understanding of what was being proposed, if we were adopting the election code or chose to want to investigate adopting the election code as is written, which would be back to what was originally done in 1975, because the election code now does provide for nonpartisan municipal elections. You do not need the exception, as the election code does allow for it. It does exist within that code now. If we were to go back, it would be basically adopting back to 1975, where we were. We would be adopting the election code in its entirety as written and amended without the exception. That's what we'd be looking at as far as if there were a change to our election structure. And I believe there was one bit of misinformation in the memo, and I apologize. It is actually for or under would be uncontested, greater than four, meaning five candidates in a field would invoke the contested definition. And I believe, as was handed out, I'm not exactly certain by whom, but there was as well a copy of a Municipal League information that is highlighted, and that also is that same language. Uncontested would be the four or less. It's the greater than four becomes contested, which triggers the February primary even under the election code. So any field greater than four would trigger a February election, and that would be very much the same as the situation we're in. It would only have to be triggered, though, by that field of greater than four.
Thank you. I know we have one person in the audience that would like to address this. Anyone from the council want to lead off on the discussion? All right. Mr. Wren, would you, if you would, your name and address for the record, please.
Chuck Wren, 524 East Pierce, Macomb. Thank you, Mayor, and members of the council. I think most of you are aware that I've been active in politics in this area since 1973, both in city elections, state elections, county elections. I thought I could add a couple of things that I think I would like to bring to your attention. I would support the abolishment of the February primary in the strongest of terms. And I want to cite several reasons. The first one, obviously, is that in February, we all know what the weather potentially is like in February, which obviously can contribute to one of the low turnouts that we've been experiencing, not to mention the safety factor. So I would think that you ought to consider, unless there's a compelling reason to do so, there really is no reason to have a February election. The second thing is some factual information for you. During all the times that we have had elections, an interesting fact, the person we've had a primary and then gone to a general, the person that has always won the primary has always won the general, without exception. So therefore, when you're really gaining nothing by having a primary and moving on to a general election. Second, in terms of the number of people required to have a primary, I would hope that it would be to God that we would have enough interest that we would have four more people interested, but the fact is we've never had that. I can only recall one instant where we've had three or more involved in a primary. And same thing, the person that won the general, won the primary, also won the general. So I think there's enough evidence and enough factual data to say we really don't need a February primary. And then the final reason, my wife's an election judge, and so I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning on primary day. So have sympathy on this poor old guy. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Chuck. Anyone from the council?
Well, he answered a question I had, was whether anybody had ever won the final election that lost the primary. And so I think we are simply wasting the county's money by having a primary.
Thank you, Alderman Cook. Anyone else? Alderman Dorsey.
I'm a little unclear on this whole 3, 4, 5 issue. So let's say we have four who happen to file. So you go ahead and go to the April. Got four people in there. You have a potential winner at, 26% of the vote?
The person with the highest number of votes, yes.
Now, in your memo, however...
And that's, as I said, that was an incorrect statement when I said at four, it's...
Understood, but I'm... If you got, so any field of five or more, then a February election occurs.
Yes, more than four.
Okay. Four plus one. some years you'll have it, some years you won't. We've had one time that there was some confusion and we decided that the baby's got to go out with the bathwater. I just don't see the need for that dramatic a change. I understand, I think, probably more than he's saying, Mr. Wren's reasons for this, but I don't believe that it's a good usage of referenda.
Sorry, if I could just... You're correct, but I just want to read you the actual language from the statute, and maybe this would help clarify why it's a little bit back and forth. An office is uncontested when not more than four persons to be nominated for each office have timely filed valid nominating papers. It's written in somewhat of a backwards way, so that's why it's a little bit... the uncontested portion is how they determine what invokes the primary. The uncontested is defined by the not more than four, meaning it's literally four persons, though, would not invoke that February primary when you translate it out.
I should have been a lawyer, because when I hear two people are running, I got a contested election. That's just me.
Thank you. Alderman Hinderliner.
Okay. Filing times will be the same?
Correct.
if we get four or less applying for one office, no February election for that ward?
For that office, correct.
That office. If we get five, there will be a February election.
Correct.
And then the top two will go forward to the general election in April.
That's correct. Okay.
If we get one ward who has five candidates, we only have to open the polling places to service that one ward, not the entire city.
Unless it's alderman at large.
Yes, that would be correct. Or a seat that in some way, an office that would.
If we have five people run for mayor, clerk, that triggers a primary.
Correct.
Or an alderman at large.
Or an alderman at large.
Yes. And one other, going on that, we would be fully under the authority of the election code at that point, meaning the State Board of Elections would have the ability to give direction if there were any questions of uncertainty as to how an election should be handled, or if there were a contested question, the State Board of Elections would be able to give an answer. They would be able to mandate and have some finality to it.
And we would save somewhere between $7,000 and $15,000 if we went to this format.
The county would, yeah.
County would. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And us taxpayers that live in the county. All right, thank you.
Sure. If you wouldn't mind stepping up, though, Chuck, so that the microphone can pick you up.
Quick observation, the county board has been doing this for years, where they have anywhere from 5 to 10 people on the ballot, and somebody only gets 24-25%, but the final winners, as determined, won, so they don't need a primary, and I don't think we do either.
Thank you. Anyone else on the council? Alderman Hanson.
A couple questions for Kristen. Do we have to set that threshold at 5, or can we determine that amount ourselves?
That's via the election code.
Could you answer the question?
No, you don't have a choice.
Okay. There's no way to do it any other way?
It would.
Oh.
If you were to adopt the election code in its entirety, as is written and amended, then you abide by the election code, which states exactly that when the field is more than four. That's what the election code says.
Is there any way that we can do it and set that threshold at a different amount, whether we adopt the election code or not? So can we have a special circumstance here where we don't adopt the election code? That's the question I'm asking.
We already are under a special circumstance,
so
outside the election code.
Is the answer to my question yes, then? Could we set the threshold to referendum at 4 if we wanted to, or at 3 if we wanted to, outside of the election code?
I guess you're asking if you could change the amount of your field that would invoke a primary.
Correct.
Not if you adopt the election code. The election code has set that number. So
I understand
what
you're saying. But I'm saying we don't adopt the election code.
Okay, I guess I'm not understanding exactly what your question is, because that is already the system you're functioning under as an exception to the election code.
Exactly, and we'd be expanding it from 2 people now to trigger the primary election in February to, say, having 3 or 4.
No, that's because you'd be adopting the election code. We're not changing that. That's not a proposal. It's just to change that. That is part and parcel of the election code. So I'm not sure why that would be. Why would you suggest that?
Never mind. What is the referendum question that we would be putting forward to the citizens of Macomb if it were to go forward?
The exact language has not been worked out, because if in fact this body chooses to want to proceed, then it will be drafted according to the direction that this council decides to move in. If a decision is made not to pursue it, then it will not be drafted, as obviously resource time can be better spent if we're not going to pursue it. The language itself would be somewhat akin to asking the voters of the city of Macomb if they would, if the city of Macomb shall repeal its exception to the election code of the state of Illinois and adopt the election code of the state of Illinois as is written and amended. That would be somewhat of what the referendum would state.
Thank you. Anyone else? Alderman Dorsett.
One other circumstance that I asked to have some information on here concerned the one half of 1% local option sales tax that the city has come to rely upon very heavily in the last couple of years since the voters were good enough to pass it the second time it was on the ballot, which was in February of the year preceding or following its defeat in a November in a general. Significantly higher turnout, yes. However, I feel in a case where you've got a strictly municipal issue, specifically the local option sales tax in that case, and there are others that may come up down the road, you had the input of the citizens of Macomb on that question where it passed, and you didn't have people coming out for other offices that might have been for or against someone, muddied the field. It gave us a true reading of how the voters of the city, the municipality, felt about that tax, and it allows us now to do these large projects that we're doing. I think that option is better to have than not have.
Thank you. And anybody else? Alderman.
Along those same lines, I believe by maintaining the February election, it does show the people that do choose to participate are doing so because they have educated themselves on the candidates or the issues, and they choose to cast their vote the way they feel. And I think it does give us a true reflection of what the citizens of Macomb are feeling about the issues in the city of Macomb. And like Alderman Dorsett said, if there's a library board election or a school board election and maybe somebody wants to vote for or against somebody, they come out, well, this issue's on the ballot. I don't know anything about it, but I'm going to vote against it. I think we would be in jeopardy of ever being able to pass a sales tax that people that visit our community help contribute to the infrastructure repair.
Thank you. Alderman Hinderlinger.
Anytime a citizen votes, I don't question their result. I don't question their integrity. I don't question anything about what the issue is. They're going to tell us what they're going to tell us. All this does effectively is eliminate two possible elections in 4 years. Two possible elections in 4 years. That's all it does. As far as referendums, tax, possible tax increases, we ought to be smart enough and forward-looking enough to figure out far enough ahead when these things should go to the citizens. We'll have less opportunities, maybe. But we don't have to have a referendum strictly on a city election basis. We can have it in any other election cycle within the county, state or federal.
Thank you. Alderman Dorsett.
Yes, I suppose we could take away some elections. I think you would respect the voters enough to let them decide whether they want to turn out for them or not.
Anyone else? Marty, we would offer the opportunity for some formulation of some verbiage for discussion and final action, or at least some further discussion and action at the next council meeting. And if we need to hold it over for some additional discussion in the committee of the whole, we can do that as well.